Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're asking, are central banks taking away the punch bowl? Has there been something of a golden age of central bank support, and could it be coming to an end? Our experts discuss the performance of these institutions since the financial crisis and consider how long central banks' accommodative policies might continue. They'll consider too whether, rather than moving towards a tightening of monetary policy, instead, by and large, we might be seeing that central banks are merely edging rather than rushing towards normalisation. We start with Mike Ryan, Chief Investment Strategist for UBS Wealth Management Americas, who reflects, first of all, on whether we assess central banks and indeed their performance individually or collectively.
We sometimes look at the central banks and we assess them all individually. And I think that is correct, because I think central banks largely respond to sets of domestic conditions and then secondarily look at what's happening globally. But remember, the world as we know it today is far more interconnected than it's ever been. If you look at trade as a percent of GDP, it's still at one of the highest levels we've seen in history. If you look at the flow of capital across borders, it's never been greater. So therefore, there is this codependence in terms of central banks and central bank policy, which means then that central banks cannot move exclusively based on their own domestic concerns and change policy unilaterally. They have to keep in mind what the central banks are doing. And if you move too quickly, what could happen is your policy steps could actually undermine growth prospects for other parts of the world. And in fact, the best analogy I could use is that when we were children growing up, we used to have all these different games that they played at camp. And one of them was when they'd have these relay teams, and the relay teams would all be tied together kind of by a rope. And then you have to run this race where five kids all ran together, and then they ran against different teams of five, and everyone was connected, tethered by their ropes. And the teams that usually lost were the teams where everybody ran as fast as they possibly could without regard to how everyone else in the team was running. What invariably happened is the fastest kid would trip up the rest of the team and they'd all fall down. The teams that won were those that ran, but only as fast as the members of the team could keep up with the fastest member. Therefore, they were cognizant of how the entire team was performing. So I'd sort of use that analogy a bit with central banks. Even if some central banks would prefer to run ahead, they have to be mindful of the pace that other central banks are able to take.
So are central banks taking away the punch bowl? Is a golden age over? We asked Themis Themistocleous, head of the European Investment Office at UBS Wealth Management, for his response to that question.
Although the period where central banks were by far the biggest game in town, I think is now behind us. So I think they made a huge difference in the last few years during the crisis. But hopefully in the future, their role is going to diminish. And I think that can only be healthy for the markets and the economy.
On specifically the European Central Bank, how would Themis assess its recent performance generally and indeed its plans for 2017 and beyond?
I think ECB and specifically Mario Draghi has done a phenomenal job. He basically managed to calm the markets when he came in. If you remember, the markets were asking whether the European Union and Euro is a sustainable currency and a sustainable structure. And his famous words will do whatever it takes, calm the markets down. And then obviously he followed up with quantitative easing. His communications with the market have been very smart. And we've seen the European economy picking up steam. Domestic growth has been very healthy. I'm pretty convinced part of that is because of the performance of ECB. Where do we go from here? I mean, all central banks at some stage need to normalize monetary policy. And of course, if we agree that monetary policy has delivered quite a strong growth, then their role has to diminish over time. Clearly, that is going to be a gradual process. I think ECB learned its lesson back in 2011-12 when they hiked rates at the wrong time, and that tipped the European economy back into a very weak period. So I think they've got to do it very gradually. And what we do expect from ECB is their September meeting to already announce that they will be tapering quantitative easing starting next year. But I think more importantly, going back to your question, what is the role of central banks going forward? I think if we look specifically on Europe, I think it's not just what ECB is doing, but what they would say they could do. So if even if they remove quantitative easing and start normalizing monetary policy, I think the most important thing is if the market believes that ECB will go back into quantitative easing and aggressively cut rates again, that potentially can put a cap on spreads, at least for some of the peripheral countries.
On that markets point, the Fed ticked up rates a quarter point recently and suggested they might address the bloated QE balance this year. Here in the UK, three members of the Bank of England's rate-setting panel voted for a rise. Has this wrong-footed markets at all, in spite of the inevitability of the required adjustment?
Depends how you look at it, because if you look at the market reaction, it hasn't actually been material. I suppose out of all the central bank comments, the Bank of England has been the one that has surprised most people.
Next up, we asked Ewan Potts of Bloomberg News whether we've witnessed a golden age of central bank support and whether, if we have, it might be drawing to a close.
It's the financial crisis that hit the world in 2008 was the deepest we've seen in generations. And with many governments around the world short of cash, it required a big response from the world's central banks. And they certainly did that. We've seen an unprecedented amount of stimulus released into the global economy, not just negative interest rates, which we've seen in several European banks and in Japan, but also quantitative easing, the buying of bonds by many central banks around the world. Now, Europe and Japan and the US, their balance sheets have now risen to the size of $14 trillion. That's the assets on the central bank's books. And the question now is, when do these central banks start to shrink those assets? They've got a lot of assets sitting there, and the worry in the markets is just when and how this will be done.
Well, yeah, on that point, Ewan, it's interesting, isn't it? Because with those, as you said, those sort of bloated balance sheets, inevitably there'll be some tapering down at some point. But it does seem maybe to a degree that if not the immediate prospect of tightening, the suggestion of future tightening, at least, has slightly wrong-footed the markets. Do you think that's a fair point?
Yes, well, back in 2013, the then chairman of the Fed, Ben Bernanke, surprised investors saying that they could start phasing out the QE program later in the year. This caused enormous turmoil on the market, something called the taper tantrum. But since then, the world's central bankers have been rather more cautious about their hints about shrinking their balance sheets. And we're now some long distance into the US recovery. We're 8 or 9 years into the US recovery, and the US Federal Reserve is starting to raise interest rates, and they're talking solidly about shrinking their balance sheet, but they've been giving many heavy hints to give the market plenty of warning, and so far we haven't seen a big reaction, and the market does seem a little bit more comfortable that this is coming around the corner.
And for more on the Fed, let's go back to Mike Ryan. Does he think that central banks are taking away the punch bowl?
Maybe they're watering down the mix a little bit. So think of it this way. What we've seen over the course of the last 8 years or so has been this extraordinarily expansive monetary policy. In fact, unprecedented in terms of the history of banking, where we've not only seen explosive growth in central bank balance sheets, but we've also seen central bankers venture into territory we all thought was territory where they couldn't go or wouldn't go, and that was negative interest rates. So I think that was an environment that was extraordinarily accommodative and supportive for, first of all, for helping the economy to grow and to heal, and then secondly, for helping stabilizing financial markets. And now I think what they're doing is they're tempering the punch a bit. What they're doing is they're beginning the process of normalizing, and I'll start with the U.S. because this is the U.S. is leading in this monetary policy shift, where the Fed is in the process now of slowly resetting rates. And then likely later this year, they're also going to begin the process of shrinking their balance sheet. So I think taking away the punch bowl is way too powerful a statement, because I think overall, monetary policy will still be very accommodative and still very supportive of both growth and financial market stability. It's just not going to be the same potent mix in the punch bowl that we've had over the course of the last 8 years.
And it's interesting, Mike, given what you say there and that background you set up, that nevertheless, the market, I don't know, they seem to sort of expect the recent rise, but they seem maybe a bit more surprised by further detail from the Fed that, as you say, these rate rises are anticipated, further rate rises anticipated this year. And crucially, this point of reducing the QE balance as early as this year, did that wrong-foot markets? And if so, why might that have been?
I don't think it really wrong-footed markets. I think what you've seen is there have been expectations that the Fed would begin the process of balance sheet reduction as the next step in policy normalization. I think what people are still assessing is the pace at which the Fed can do that. Now, remember, if you go back over the last couple of years, the Fed had set up a set of expectations around what they intended to do in terms of raising rates. And each year what you saw was those expectations had to be pulled back and the game plan had to be changed and the Fed had to move in much more modest doses because they had to recognize that they were responding to the environment that they were faced with. It was growth scares. It was geopolitical and political uncertainties. It was this ongoing headwinds from deflationary pressures. So the Fed had to react to those by slowing their intended pace of rate normalization. So I think what the market is understanding, of course, is that the Fed is putting out their plan. They're mapping out what they intend to do. Now, I think what's going to be interesting is what are they able to do going forward? We believe that the next step for the Fed will be another rate increase, which we look to be likely to happen in September. However, it's highly conditional. It'll be conditional on making sure that growth continues to play out in a moderate fashion, that we still make progress in terms of employment gains, and that we also continue to move towards or above the Fed's 2% inflation target. If those conditions aren't met, then what will happen is the Fed will have to reassess on whether they're able to raise rates in September or not. And I think the markets are prepared for that, and that's why I think the markets are not overreacting to the notion that the Fed is going to raise rates and shrink the balance sheets. And that's part of the reason why I think the rate backup has been so moderate, and in fact, rates have actually fallen over the course of the last couple of months, because of the recognition that the Fed's hand will be tempered a bit in terms of what they can do.
So overall, if we turn next to look at central bank performance across the Fed, the ECB, the Bank of England, how do our experts gauge their performance? Well, it's instructive to look at the broad economic picture. That's the fairest way to consider it, as Ewan Potts explains.
Things are pretty benign. Certainly, Europe's economy is picking up and doing quite nicely now. The European recovery has been going on, as I said, for some years, but it's taken quite a long time. The US recovery was pretty jobless to start with. There's been very slow wage growth in the US and indeed in much of the world. And Europe, it was very sluggish for many, many years. So you can say that things seem to be going okay now, but it's taken quite a long time. Whether you can pin all that blame on the world's central banks is another matter. Some of the blame probably goes with the world's governments who haven't been spending enough. But yes, yeah, certainly, it's taken a long time, but the world's economies do seem to be ticking along at some pace now.
This can prompt thoughts of that old adage, don't fight the Fed. Is there something to that, according to Mike Ryan?
I certainly say that if the Fed is really determined to shift policy in response to what they see as critical set of needs, that is either growth dynamics, the inflation outlook, I think simply trying to somehow push against the Fed usually doesn't pay off. I do think, though, that when the Fed is uncertain about the policy path, as they are now, where they're in the process of trying to reset, but as I said before, they're being very pragmatic about it and only moving when the conditions are right, then I think what you need to do is you need to be able to continually reassess what it's likely the Fed is able to do, because the Fed does not have this predetermined course where they're simply going to go out and rotely go out and every quarter raise rates by a predetermined amount or shrink the balance sheet by a predetermined amount. And if you were to simply assume that, I think that's where the risk is that markets misinterpret or misunderstand what the Fed is really looking to do.
Don't fight the Fed, then. Is there a broad truth to that wherever you look, and in point of fact, to whichever central bank you look? Here's Ewan Potts again.
We're some way off European central bank balance sheet being shrunk. They're still issuing QE in Europe, but certainly the Fed does seem to be moving in that direction.
And that's Ewan Potts bringing us to the end of this 142nd edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance every week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.